The following was at the Mount Zion meeting the first Sunday in April 1976.
May we look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, long-suffering, hast thou been unto us, Lord, all the days and years of our lives. Thou hast revealed thyself unto us as the only true and the living God. And unto thee would we praise and render praise and honor and thanksgiving because of thy tender mercies which thou hast bestowed upon us. Thou who knowest us all together, who knowest our needs, and who has supplied our needs every day that we've ever lived. We pray thee to forgive us, O Lord, because we know that it is so often that we forget to be thankful unto thee, when as a matter of fact we realize that it is only by thy grace that we are what we are. And were it not for thy grace, we fear and tremble to think what we would be without thy grace and thy mercy. O Lord, all that we have in this life, all that we are in this life, we are because of thy goodness and thy mercy. I pray thee therefore, if it is consistent with thy will, that thou wilt still look upon us with pity and compassion, and lead us by thine unerring spirit, that we may be enabled to worship thee and exalt thy name, worship thee in spirit and in truth, exalt thy name above every name that has ever been named, because we have been made to realize that when we were dead, without thought, without any hope at all in this world, it was then that thou didst begin a work in us. It was that thou didst bring us to know that we were dead in trespasses and in sins, dead sinners, and we hadn't known it before. We had been trusting in our own works, feeling oft times that they were sufficient. But when thou didst to reveal unto us what sinners we were, then it was that we were made to come before thy throne and beg of thee to have mercy. Before that time we felt sufficient for all things that we thought were necessary. But thou hast quickened us so that we realize that in us, that is in our flesh, that dwells absolutely no good thing. We thank thee that thou hast brought us together at this place this morning, Father. And while we realize we are only few in number, but we are all here according to thy will and pleasure and purpose, as thou didst purpose before the world began. And we realize if it is thy will that thy word shall be, I shall have free course this day, it shall be so. We would, O Lord, thank thee as best we know how, and pray thee to lead us each day, each hour, each moment, in the way that thou wouldst have us to go. We realize that we are so ignorant in things that are spiritual, but we realize also that thou art able and thou hast and will reveal to us such things as thou wilt have us to know. Bless us, Father, that we may contend earnestly for the faith that thou hast once delivered to thy people. And keep us, Father, from following every wind of doctrine that seems to please men in nature, but that we might be turned aside from all of these things and seek to worship thee, Father, if thou dost give us of thy spirit, worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lead us, Father, from this day henceforth. We know not how many years nor days, that thou hast allotted each one of us, that we are made to be satisfied that whatever thou dost do, it is right and it is good. For thou art infinite in wisdom and power and glory. We're only finite creatures. We can't see one moment ahead. But we're glad we have a God who had declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying that thy counsel should stand. Lord, be with us today. Be with our families, be with our children. Grant each one of us grace, if it is according to thy will. Wilt thou send forth thy Spirit into our hearts that we may learn, be taught the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Father, be with us, we pray thee, and then save us at last, we beg for Christ's sake. Amen. I seem to have and have had for a day or two, so the practically the same thing that Sister Wood has, a hoarseness and a cough. But I will try, as the Lord may enable me, I will try to stand before you a while and speak to these wonderful and glorious things, if it is His will. I had thought this morning concerning the Apostle Paul's writing to Timothy in his second epistle to Timothy, in which the apostle called Timothy's attention to the fact that many strange things were going on in the world. And I'd like to begin at the beginning of the fifth chapter and read till we come to the end of that thought, if I may. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now that is a serious indictment, isn't it, against men who have not been brought into the knowledge of the truth, but who rather hate it, hate the truth, and shall always live that way, live and die, unless it is the Lord's will, and He has already chosen many of them, no doubt, in His Son Jesus Christ, and He will reveal to them. But in the meantime, these things that He mentioned to Timothy there, and they are preserved unto us, as we look around about us, concerned as we are with the terrible things that are going on in the world, we see that these same things right now taking place. And the apostle in another place, he admonished the brethren and to try the spirits, whether they be of God or not, to try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. If they are of God, you will not find, you might find it once in a while, because we're so weak and puny and all of those things, you'll not find the Lord's people following these things that I have been reading here, because the Lord has taught them. The Lord has brought them out of the darkness, that such characters as these, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, the last days evidently included the days in the apostles' time, because many had risen up among them, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. But they also in these last days, now, and it's terrible for those who know the difference between the grace of God and those things which lead us in our flesh to do. Terrible thing, isn't it? Things that we mourn, things that we regret. And I have thought sometime this week that we often are ready to criticize our enemies, and we do that often. But Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And I realize that we can't indeed and in truth pray for our enemies unless we have the Spirit of God. There has been one that is not a member of the church that it seems to me is an enemy to the truth. And I have criticized him and myself and in the presence of others who know the man. But it came to me just a few days ago that Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Jesus prayed for his enemies. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Other times, the Lord's people have prayed for the enemies. Now, I don't know what the end of this will be. I haven't decided. But if it is of myself, it won't amount to anything. But if it is of the indictment of the Lord's purpose and will in my heart, I expect to see fruits. But I have to wait to see, to know, whether this was just a desire of mine or whether it was indicted in my heart. Now, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, it says, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known, he's writing to Timothy now, let us remember, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now I read it thoroughly, that's what the word is there. We in our day would say thoroughly, but this was the old English expression and it was incorporated in the translation. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, Paul was writing to Timothy, whom he called his son, then a minister in the gospel. He knew him, and he knew something about his earlier life, and he knew that the Lord had called him as a servant, and therefore I have oft times read Paul's letters to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and unto Titus. I feel that there's no better admonition, if it is entered by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, that the apostle admonished these brethren, these two brethren, that they should continue in the things that had been taught, things that they'd learned. Therefore, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn every man their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This brings us, my brethren and friends, to realize what the apostle really had in mind when he wrote to Timothy and Titus, what he really had in mind. He knew that he had been blessed to preach the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. He knew that one time he didn't know the truth, but that the Lord in his infinite wisdom and mercy so led him about and gave him experimentally to know the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. Evidently, that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness shined in his heart to give him the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that's the only way, my friends and brethren, that's the only way that you and I, or any of the Lord's people, are brought to know the truth. Brought to know the truth concerning ourselves and our flesh, and brought to know the truth concerning the truth as it is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These things that the apostle was blessed to preach, they were so wonderful, they were so glorious. He had received them at the hand of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or at the hand of God. And therefore he knew the difference between what he once was and what he was after the Lord had revealed himself to him. I've often thought, my brethren, that the scriptures, while most people talk about the scriptures, most people will confess that they believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but they pay very little attention to it until and unless the Lord brings them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. I cannot understand, very often at least, how it is that men can profess to be and claim that they are servants of God, have a reverence for the Word of God, the written Word of God, and yet when they begin to talk about it, they either skip so much of it, or they skip some of it and put in their sermons, put in their talks to the people just what they want them to know. Now I don't understand why it is or how it is, except it is in flesh, that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet those whom you may hear often in the radios and television, they do not hold fast to sound doctrine that is contained in that scripture. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But their whole theme, as I have heard many of them all of my days, all of my life, their whole theme is to ignore certain parts of these things and say, well, the Lord didn't mean just that. It shouldn't be interpreted that way. But my brethren and friends, don't we know, don't you know, that this is the word of God? Those who have been brought out of darkness to realize that this is the word of God, they are not about to deny any part of it, because they realize that God is sovereign. They realize this: God is a sovereign God who had left upon record for us everything that he would have his people to know while they journey in this world. He left upon record for us. Not only that, I will rejoice in the fact that he's left upon record for us in this book, in this Bible, in these scriptures. He not only does that, but he reveals through the same Spirit and enable holy men of old to write as he moved them. He reveals in your heart, my heart, in our hearts, the hearts of his people, the very same thing, the very same doctrine that these old brethren over here referred to and are speaking of, Jesus and him crucified. It is a wonderful thing, brethren, when we begin to be concerned about it, to think about it. It's a wonderful thing when we are brought to read about it, to think that God was pleased, infinite God, almighty, all-powerful God, was pleased to allow sinners such as you, such as I am, to love sinners, and haven't been able to understand the love of God. That he should love sinners as he has, and yet he loves sinners, as I've so often said, with a love that is beyond human understanding or comprehension. But he did. Nobody can question him. Nobody can question but what he, God, provided the only way of salvation for his people. The only way. And that salvation is laid down here in this book. In so many plain paragraphs, or so many plain words. And also is indicted in the hearts of the Lord's people. So that they can read, if they have been born of the Spirit, they can read and say when it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. They can immediately, and they will immediately say, that is true. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So they can say that because they once boasted, as Saul of Tarsus did, boasted of their works. But it took nothing less than the eternal Spirit of God being sent forth into the hearts of every individual that God loved before the world began and chosen his Son. He sends that Spirit into this heart, these hearts individually, and teaches them something that men cannot teach. Now the natural understanding of men cannot believe. Now he says all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. Inspiration. He did not just merely I asked them to write something, not in that sense at all, but he inspired them. The inspiration came from heaven. This book was written by the finger of God as he enabled his servants, inspired them to write the very things that he dictated in his inspiration. So that we know that all of these things are profitable unto us. And he says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so, my brethren, aren't we sometimes made to stand still, and when these things come into our hearts and minds, or read them in the book? Aren't we made to stand still and to say, wonder how in the world that we in our flesh, men in their flesh, could be so ignorant as to read these things that were inspired by the God of heaven and yet deny that these things came from heaven? The apostle said they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, truly furnished unto all good works. So, my brethren and friends, not too long ago, probably I spoke it, but I know I remember I wrote it, that whenever anyone turns the slightest degree away from the scriptures that God himself inspired his men to write, when they teach anything just slightly different from what it is, how it is worded here, and the sense of it is given by the Spirit of God, how can men turn their noses up, shall I say, and God didn't mean it that way? No. But my brethren and friends, this book here contains everything, without an exception, that God would have his people to know. Everything without an exception that he would have his people to know. And as I said, not only did he have it written, but it's written in their hearts. He sends his Spirit into their hearts, indicts it in their hearts, so that they know and they rejoice in the things that God has declared. Now, I know that sometimes you hear your friends or your fellow workmen or others, they talk about these things, and yet they do not interpret the scriptures as you have it interpreted in your heart. And you wonder how that anybody could be so blind as to read that scripture, any scripture that is talking about the doctrine of God our Savior, how they could be so blind as to read that and yet deny it. And yet, my brethren, when we began to think about those who deny these things, you remember, I once denied in myself, he would say, before that I was brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, I believed that salvation was by the works of the flesh. I believed that God did, that God had fixed it so that men had to do certain things. He had declared these things, I thought. And yet, when I, together with you, began to try to live up to the things that the Spirit of God had written here, we found ourselves utterly at a loss. Couldn't do it at all. And so it made us the more. It brought us to realize how weak we were, and brought us to see the glory of the rest of the inspiration of God, the declarations of God, how glorious they were. Now, the apostle knew, there's no question, he never doubted, that the things that he was had revealed to him on the outskirts of Damascus, He didn't doubt for one moment from that day on, but that these were the truth, these things were the truth. He didn't doubt from that day on that Jesus was the Christ. He believed he was the Christ because it had been revealed in his heart. And there's not a one of us that really know that Jesus is the Christ that hasn't come under the teaching of that same Spirit. Not a one of us, but what has come under the teaching of the Spirit of God. And if you have been brought under that teaching, you know it. You say, well, I had some little things that I often look back on and wonder about it. But my friends and my brethren, if you had some little things, as you call them, being such a sinner that you almost are made to doubt and to tremble and to fear whether I have ever been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light or not. But if you have ever been stopped, to use my expression, if you've ever been stopped by the Spirit and the power of God, stopped in your tracks sometime, and made to realize that you were a vile sinner, then it was the very Spirit of God that came into your heart. And you didn't have to quibble about it. You didn't quibble about it. You knew by the overpowering of the Spirit of God in your heart, you knew that you were a vile sinner and realized that you'd been trying to work out your own way. But you was a miserable failure. Now, my brethren, I've often said to you, as you know, and you've often read it, and you all believe it, that we are in our flesh, we are just flesh, that's all we are. And in our flesh, we have the spirit of man, that's all we have, just the spirit of man. We can't go over the bounds. We can't go beyond the things that men know by their spirit. To come into the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ is spiritual things. We can't do that. Try as much as you will. And many men and women have determined and confessed and believe that they have been brought to know the truth. But the only thing that will prove that they know the truth is, do they deny the things that the Spirit of God left upon record for us here? Do they deny? The people say, well, I believe salvation is by grace, all right. But there's a little something we have to do. Well, that isn't preaching what Jesus said. Then I read this in the newspaper yesterday, I believe it was, that certain churches over in Manassas were bringing men and women, children, I can't get to the right quotation, but bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. I don't question what they believe that. They have their bus, and they go about gathering up the children on Sunday morning and night perhaps and other times, feeling that they're doing God's service, feeling that they are bringing these little ones out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. And yet I wonder if the leaders of those people ever read anything about the new covenant that God said he would make with those after those days, different from the one he made with the house of Judah, house of Israel. Very much different, entirely different, because he said, I will write my laws in their heart, put them in their mind. I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. Then he goes on to say, man shall no more teach his neighbor or his brother or his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. Jesus, my friends and brethren, I'm going to make a statement here that that many people wouldn't like, Tom. Jesus didn't come here into the world in any sense whatsoever to try to save every human being. He didn't do that. I am fully persuaded that if it has been his will, the Father's will, that all sinners should be saved, that there was sufficiency in the blood of Jesus, and sufficient in that to take away all the sins of all the world. But it wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will, and the scriptures are full of it. It wasn't God's will. I hear Jesus say, no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. I heard a niece of mine, a cousin of mine, it was when we were children. We were at some sort of a meeting where they were begging and pleading and doing everything they could to get his children to come up. And this niece was resisting. And the final thing was, he thought this would get her sure enough. He said, don't you know your father and your mother want you to be saved? What kind of doctrine is that? It is simply saying that all you've got to do, and you must do that, come and join a church, be baptized, support the cause, and all of that. But my brethren, there's much more to that. Much more to these things. Because those teachers, however smart they may be in the things, the world, however well-versed they may be in some portions of the scriptures, it is absolutely impossible for them to impart the knowledge which only the Spirit of God can do right in the heart and put in their minds. They can't impart it to them. For I know that, because I came along that way, I know that we were taught that we could do it if we would. All we had to do is just to do it, and then that's all right. Everything would be all right. But my friends and my brethren, at the times that I was going before this church there as a boy, just a little fellow, I didn't even know that I was a sinner. I didn't even know that I was dead in trespasses and in sins. And more than all of that, I didn't know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, though I made a confession right there that I believe that he's the Christ. And 2 or 3 or 4 years after that, I learned, my brethren, that I was ignorant. I learned that I told a falsehood. My thought was to myself, I lied to those people because I didn't know. I confessed to thee, I believe, that I didn't know he was the Christ. And I count to this, some 3 or 4 years later, as the beginning of the work of grace, if I'm not deceived, in my heart to open up to me what a vile, hell-deserving sinner I was. And I didn't know it before. But I say that because, brethren, I believe that to some degree and in some way and manner, that every one of the children of God are brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of some God in somewhat the same manner that Saul of Tarsus was. He sends forth his spirit. God sends forth his spirit in their hearts. And he convicts them. Now these teachers that I had as a youth, they didn't tell me that I was a sinner. I didn't hear them talking about being a sinner at all. But all I had to do that was necessary, you have to receive it, you have to believe it. And I have so many times thought, since I was shown that I was dead in trespasses and in sins, I've often wondered how that a dead sinner, one that was dead in trespasses and in sins, without any spirits of life whatsoever, how that he could believe, how that he could receive, how did he confess that he was that Jesus was his Savior? And when at that time he had never even learned that he was a dead sinner. Now I hear them calling upon dead sinners, and so far as I know, that's what they are. And if they heed the voice of those who preach to them, and tell them, and believe, and accede to their request, they come up and give you hand to God and so forth, I know that if that's what you're depending upon, that they never have yet learned that God is in heaven, Almighty God. But I am down here in this world a sinner, sinned against Him, not worthy of His notice. They haven't learned that. But just as soon, in the eternal wisdom of God, that He quickens one of those that He chose in His Son before the world began, as soon as He quickens that one learns and knows that he's a sinner. And he begs for mercy. And the only relief that he ever will receive, or any child of God will receive, is when it takes place with him, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. So these are wonderful and glorious things, my brethren. So the apostle here says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard these charges made before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes I've found that the charge didn't mean very much, because some of those have kept on preaching, have started preaching, and they didn't realize that the charge was given them before God, that he should preach the things of the Spirit of God and not just preach anything that seemed good to men. So I'll read a little bit more. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. That's all you have to preach. Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Preach the things that the Spirit has revealed, and it is written here by inspiration in this book. Written in your heart by the Spirit of God coming into your heart. So preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I have often questioned my friends and brethren, and I still do question. And he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I realize that I myself cannot come up to that. But I do. I feel sometimes, maybe not very often, I feel sometimes that the Spirit of God has enabled me to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the reason that the apostle was talking to him, to Timothy here, was, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then he comes to where I stopped reading. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. Now the apostle was not bragging about how good a fight he had been, how good a fighter he had been. But he had been, shall I put it this way, if you follow me, he had been in a good fight. He had been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God to deny the things that the devil was spreading throughout the world in those days and still into this day. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He wasn't bragging. There's not a one of us can brag about those. And Paul said, that he was the weakest of the weak, the poorest of the poor. And yet, sometimes when he was feeling that there was presence of the Spirit of God in his heart, he said one time, I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I believe. So he said, watch thou in all things, do your affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Notice, I call your attention to the fact that he did not say, therefore, but henceforth. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth has laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come short me unto me. And in one of these books, the apostle was admonishing Timothy or Titus in all of these wonderful things. And when he wrote the various churches, he was so, I don't know how to express it, so anxious, maybe not, isn't the right word, but he wanted the brethren, the churches, where the brethren were congregated, he wanted them to preach the gospel, to believe the gospel, and said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which you receive, let it be accursed. The apostle Paul meant, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. And he desired that all the churches should keep the same faith by the same one who enabled him to preach the gospel and to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And so, my brethren, I hope that you have noticed that I am trying to say only what the Lord himself has said. Only trying to preach the gospel, the word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm not telling you that if you will do good these things here and do good there and those things that God will bless you for. No, but if there is a blessing, my brethren, it is this, just exactly opposite. You are blessed to do, not for doing. And yet the doctrine of men is the Lord will bless you greatly if you will just obey and do his will. Brethren, I have found that to do the Lord's will must come in my life and yours by the inspiration, by the knowledge of the truth, by being enabled by the Spirit of God to beg God to have mercy upon his Son, to do the things that God has commanded us to do. Your prayer is, my prayer is, that the Lord will lead us in all the ways that he has laid out for us, because it won't be long until we too, together with these that we have buried right recently, that we shall go the way of all flesh. But we shall not go the way of all flesh until the time that God has appointed for us, each one of us. When that time comes, somehow, my brethren, I'm persuaded that it'll be a good time. Not be afraid. I sometimes have been afraid of death. But I'm fully persuaded sometimes that when that hour comes, that he who said, "Lo, I'm with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world," I feel that he in his spirit will be right around about the dying bed of every one of his children, and they shall not be afraid to go hence. May the Lord lead you in all your walk and all your conversation, and may his name have all the praise, the honor, and the glory forever and ever.